morning. Let's begin. Page 575 in your hymnals. Sunlight, page 575. Let's all stand, shall we? Page 575.
I wandered in the shades of night till Jesus came to me, and with the sunlight of his love did all my darkness flee. Sunlight, sunlight in my soul today. Sunlight, sunlight all along the way. Since the Savior found me, took away my sin, I have had the sunlight of his love within.
This is our fellowship song. Let's fellowship.
On the second now.
Though clouds may gather in the sky and billows round me roll, however dark the world may be, I've sunlight in my soul. Sunlight, sunlight in my soul today. Sunlight, sunlight all along the way. Since the Savior found me, took away my sin, I have had the sunlight of his love.
75 on the last.
Soon I shall see him as he is, the light that came to me. Behold the brightness of his face throughout eternity. Sunlight, sunlight in my soul today. Sunlight, sunlight all along the way. Since the Savior found me, took away my sin, I have had the sunlight of his love.
Do you think of something that's real bright? Did you hear yourself sing?
Sunlight, sunlight.
I think you should do it again. How many of you really believe what you're singing? In my sunlight, in my soul today. Don't you like the sun bright and hot? You ought to sing like that. We'll give you one more chance. If you don't do well on this time, go to the bathroom and get a lunch because you're going to be here a while.
On the chorus of 575, here we go. Are you going to sing this time? That was the reason. Ready?
Sunlight, sunlight in my soul today. Sunlight, sunlight all along the way. Since the Savior found me, took away my sin, I have had the sunlight of his love within.
Amen!
Amen! That was good! Finally! He took away my sin! Mariah, where's Mariah? Raise your hand. She got saved in Awana Wednesday. Amen. And Riley, she's not here. You do? You go to school? Y'all are smart. Yeah, I'll tell somebody. Thanks for coming. Ready to pray? Pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for salvation. Thank you for Mariah and what you did in her life. Thank you for what you did in Riley's life. Lord, if someone's here today and they don't know that their sins are gone, they might say, I thought I had to be good. Nope. Jesus came and he died for our sins and he rose from the dead. And you said if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we're saved. So Lord, show someone, maybe in this room, show someone maybe watching that they need Jesus Christ as their Savior. Thank you that you do that. Thank you for sunlight. Thank you for the sunlight of salvation. Thank you for the joy of being born again and knowing that you took our sin, we'll be with you, and nothing can change that. Thank you for that, Lord. Help us today to worship you like you're worth. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated.
Page 576, Springs of Living Water, page 576.
With that, but I got to put up with you. If you have a bulletin, would you grab that? I want to give you a couple of things that are extra for you to think about. Can you imagine how it will be when we enter the presence of God? I mean, church is not the presence of God. We can't see him. You imagine when we're going to see him? It'll sound just about like that. We won't know what to say. Wow. Second best is here. Chaplain Ross is here. So if you can't meet with God, but Chaplain Ross is in the building, and he is, and his wife, Sarah, he's going to come up in a little bit. I'll let you know when. Just say hi. Some of you know him by name. He's a chaplain in Cass County, Michigan. We've supported him for years. You know what? It's like St. Joe County, Chaplain Coyle. They're getting in. They're reaching people. Right, Vic? They're reaching people that It's a mission field. So we're glad. So we're glad he's here. With that on Chaplain Coyle, he would like, if you have Christian books for the inmates, for St. Joe County, see John Berkey. If you have extra, I probably have some. They have to be paperback. They have to be paperback. Good Christian books. Now look, man up a little bit. If John doesn't think those books should go to the inmates, I'm going to give him permission. There's some stuff, just because somebody wrote it, doesn't mean it should be read. So, if you've got something that you want the inmates to read, and I've got some stuff, some seconds, that they ought to read. See John, give them a job, we'll figure it out, but the St. Joe County needs those. That's for the inmates, that's paperbacks, paperbacks only. Margie Snyder has a prayer request. Her daughter, Stephanie, has a good friend in Florida. Florida's a good place to be from. Stephanie Gillespie, that's Stephen Margie Snyder's daughter. She has a friend, 49, had a massive heart attack. Pray for her recovery. Her name? That means write it down. Christy Carringer, C-A-R-R-I-N-G-E-R. Christy Carringer. If you forget, see me or see Margie. Christy Carringer, 49. That's young, isn't it? That's young. Too young. But it happens. It happens. So pray for that family. We're here tonight. There's choir at 5. We're here tonight at 6 on the backside of your bulletin. If we're here, if we're on earth, Christians, if Christians are on earth, Wednesday, we're having church and Awana. That, I mean, I'm telling you, I said in Sunday school, I got the heebie-jeebies this week over two things. Number one, Iran attacked Israel. That's a big deal. The Lord, he's coming back. And he's coming back soon. And the other thing is our government is waving Ukrainian flags in our capital. Watch. That makes it easy for the nations to come together. I don't know about you. That's my flag. That's the country. Say, you hate Ukraine? Of course not. We're in America. Everything's being set up. Everything's being set up, man. Tell you, this week, wow. It's got. I'm surprised we're here. I wasn't going to come. I figured the Lord was coming back this morning. Why study? So I had to study. We'll be here Wednesday. Awana 6:45, teens 7 in the teen building, adults here at 7. Afterglow next week for the teens at the Berkeys. At the Berkeys. That is next week following the service. May 10th, mother-daughter banquet. Sign up. Is there a sign-up list up? There is a sign-up list. You have to be a woman. It isn't, why didn't you come? My mom's gone. Mother, daughter, either or, not one or the other. But you got to be a woman. It's a ladies' banquet, but we call it mother-daughter banquet. If you were a mother, had a mother, are a mother, have a daughter, were a daughter, want a daughter, want a mother, and you're a woman, come to the banquet. Hey, good food. Sign up. Need you to sign up. If you'd like to host an afterglow, there is a sign-up list on the bulletin board for that. Is Debbie Berkey here? Is she in the nursery? Down, you mean nursery, not way down. Some of you are... Charlie and Joyce Bartley, I met them at a funeral. And they're visiting today. Good to have you from the area. Good to have you. And, of course, the Rosses are here. How about let's do the offering? And right, are you doing a choir special? Right after the offering, Dr. Ross, would you come up and share with us?
He's not here.
We'll send his helper. Ushers are coming. God doesn't need your money, but he wants your heart. And we give because it reveals what's in our heart. Right? God can do without us, can he? God can do without us. Hello? God can do without us. But we give him what he wants. We do what he says. And kind of a little thing, kind of like no shirt, no shoes, no service. Don't tell anybody, but I've eaten without shoes before. I don't understand that theology. I'm not going to tell you if I've eaten without a shirt before, but no shirt, no shoes, no service. So I don't understand that, but I'll just do what they said, right? Right? God doesn't need my money. When I give this, God doesn't go, oh, boy! You know what God says when I give my money? What a cheapskate. Hey? Just saying. God's worth so much more than this. And I want him to know that. But this is kind of me showing him, I love you, Lord. I love you. Ready to pray? Pray with me. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for servants. Thank you for servants that do your work. And they would do it no matter what. That's thrilling. Thank you that we can give. Thank you that we can serve you. Thank you for our guests today. Thank you, Lord, that you said, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. A lot of people are trying to live right, be right, do right, give right. And you said, no, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Giving doesn't get us into heaven. Lord, our faith does. If someone's here not sure, show them they need to put their faith in Christ. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Pastor Rudy is a hard act to follow. But I'm going to do my best. First, I would like to, probably it's not necessary, but I would like to apologize because we came unannounced. And some churches do not appreciate that. But I do thank God for Lakeville Baptist Church. Amen. And I'm so thankful for Pastor Rudy. And Sarah and I, my wife, want to just tell you that we're here because we love you, and we know that you love us. And we want you to know how much we appreciate that. I didn't really come prepared to say a lot, but just to tell you that we appreciate you. And I think the last time we were here, you guys had a fire. It was a fire or something? Something happened here.
A fire.
Yeah, fire. Yes, a fire. I thought.
I had to think that.
So it's been a while.
Right.
It's been a while. But I have saw Pastor Rudy. During the COVID, I watched you on YouTube. Amen. So we're so thankful to be here. And as I was driving here, I said, what am I, if I was asked to say something, what would I say? And I usually say the same thing, because every time we drive here, I think about Chaplain Roger. Some of you have been to Cass County, you've come to our dinners, and we really appreciate that. And Roger drives, I don't know exactly how far he is from the church, but it's quite a distance from here to Cassopolis. And he drives there most Sundays, and been doing it so faithfully over the years. And every time I drive, I just appreciate it so much. You know, he can make a lot of excuses. He comes in the winter, summer. He's just like the mailman. He's just always there. And we really appreciate it. I know the men there appreciate it. And Roger's doing the great work. And again, we just want to thank you. Hopefully you realize how encouraging you are to us, that you've been supportive, not only financially, but through your prayers. And just the fact that you think about us gives us the will to go on for God. Because, in Cass County, there's still a need. There's a lot of things changed since the COVID, a lot of them for the better. We don't have as many guys incarcerated as we had before. The population is about half what it normally is, and so that's a good thing. So they're having other ways to deal with the men and women. So we're thankful for that. But I just want to just say thank you, and we're here just to show you how much we appreciate it, and looking forward to our fellowship together. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Please take your hymnals once again and turn to page 545. 545. Jesus loves even me. Let's all stand, shall we? On the first verse, Junior Church, you may be dismissed.
I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even
on the last.
Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in his beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
Thank you. You may be seated. Quartet's going to come. Carol, Crystal, Scott, and Matt.
Music is supposed to make you think about God. It's supposed to make you want to love Him and serve Him and tell you how great He is. What a privilege, right? The song? What a privilege. What a friend. He's God, but He's a friend. Do you ever forget about God? I mean, you know he's there. It isn't like, oh yeah. But sometimes somebody's got to say it, so I'll say it. Sometimes we act like he's not there. Watch me now, because I'm trying to brainwash you subliminally. Sometimes we act like he's not there. Some people we expect to feel that way, but then others, when they act that way or feel that way, it throws us off. One of those characters, if you have your Bible, 1 Kings chapter 19, is the man Elijah. If I dressed up for Halloween, I'd like to dress up like Elijah, but I don't know how that would look. I love him. I love him. I love him. He's emotional. I love that. He's at the top. I love that. When he's on the bottom, you can't even find him. He's so low. I love that because I relate to that. I need someone I can relate to. I don't need someone I can't keep up with. I like Peter. I don't like John. Because John, it seemed like the Apostle John did everything right. I don't know about your life, but mine just doesn't turn out that way. Much as I try. Peter, though, one minute, man, he's all for God, fighting off the enemy. The next minute, he's denying that he even knows who he is. I don't do that. But Peter makes me feel better. I know you're not supposed to use that word. We relate to him. We relate to Elijah. Elijah, in chapter 18, had challenged the prophets of Baal, the false prophets. He challenged them to call down fire from heaven. And they did their best. Man, they did their best. They were so into it, they began to cut their own bodies. They drew their own blood. They were trying to sacrifice their own lives. And then Elijah said, step to the side. He didn't just call down fire from heaven. He soaked the sacrifice so it would be harder to ignite. Why would he do that? Because he believed that God really wanted to show off. So he pours water everywhere. He soaks everything. He soaks a trench around it so no spark could sneak up and ignite the sacrifice. And all of a sudden, 1 Kings 18, kaboom! This fire falls from heaven and ignites Elijah's sacrifice. As he looked at the prophets of Baal, they said two words. See, that's not two words, that's one hyphenated word. My sermon, you listen. They said, uh-oh. He killed them all and said, well, that'll show them. And everybody, the Bible tells us in that chapter, everybody said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. 1 Kings 19, are you there? Verse 1. King Ahab told Jezebel, his wife, all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me. Anybody ever tell you something that wasn't true, but you believed it? Happens all the time, doesn't it? Oh, wait, whoops. Oh, wait, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, wait a minute, I got my information wrong. You've been there. You've said it. You've heard it. She doesn't send him anthrax. She doesn't send him a knife saying, please plunge this into yourself. She says three words. I'll get you. And he freaked out. I mean, he had God's word. He just saw fire come down from heaven. And now this lady says, so let the gods, verse 2, do to me and more also if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. She puts a deadline on it. When the prophets of Baal did not call down fire, Elijah said, this is how it's done. You would not think a guy like that would be intimidated by what the queen, the king's wife, said. Verse 3 says, and when he saw that, he arose, look at it, verse 3, and went for his life. He's not thinking. He's acting. Hey, he's acting like there is no God. Is he not? I mean, we've talked about this. Let's say it again, because repetition is a good teacher. When she said that, and I would like to think, and I don't know this, so just let me preach for a minute. If I was Elijah, and she sent me that message, I would have knocked on her door with a bucket of water. And when she said, what's the water for? I said, I'm going to dump this over your head and God's going to set you on fire. Let me ask you a question, honestly. Based upon what you know, we did not read it. You can read it. I'm telling the truth. I'm not off on this. 1 Kings 18 tells us exactly what happened. And it happened. Based upon that, could God set Jezebel on fire? Seems to me your problems are much smaller. Seems to me you're running away from stuff that God can handle. Seems to me that you and I, if we say we know God, that we ought to act like it. We ought to pray like it. You just sang a little while ago, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Doesn't say he prayed. Verse 3 says he went for his life. Would you at least go into her house? Yeah, is Jezebel home? Just a minute, we'll get her. I don't know how this would play out. Just go with me here. Hello, yes, is Jezebel here? Who's calling? Just tell her the big E. Elijah, if you don't know how to spell. Just tell her the big E's here. They go, ma'am. There's a man at the door. Gentleman says he's the big E. Not biggie. Big E. Keep up. She goes, oh, Elijah, good. I've been waiting to see him. She gets to the door. Look at Elijah. He's on his knees praying. Okay, God, I think I hear her. Whenever you're ready. Just like you set fire on Mount Carmel, go ahead, God. I mean, did he not have the privilege to do that? Says he went for his life. He came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. Verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came, sat down under a juniper tree. He requested for himself that he might die. Couldn't she kill him? What am I missing here? He don't want to die by her hand. He doesn't want God to take care of it. But he said, God, if you're going to take me, would you take me earlier? I mean, that's what it says there. He requested for himself that he might die. He said, it is enough. Or here's what you and I say. I've had enough. Did you ever say that? If you had kids, you have. Huh? You know, when a mom's home with the kids, she's the gauge of how the day went. We get home, hey, how are you? Her face. She doesn't say anything. We say, what happened? What does she say? Four words. You won't believe it. Well, when we've gone through it once or twice, we believe it. She says, I don't know what I'm going to do. Hey, some of you send your kids off to school. My dear wife homeschooled our kids. And some of them are here. I can't talk about it, but she homeschooled our kids. Yes, she did, and she's still living. So are they. Some of them limp. Look at verse 4. It is enough. I'm at my limit. Full of it. I want no more. I'm done. I wish I was dead. I've done what you wanted me to do. Fine. She wants to kill me. Please, God, kill me first. That's not the prayer that God wanted. That prayer, verse 4 is not God's will. Because let me let you in on something about God. If God wants to do something, it's done. If Elijah says, you know, I'm done, just take my... God doesn't need time. God doesn't even need you to ask him. He says, it's enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life. I'm not better than my father's. I have no reason to be here. Verse 5, he lay and slept under a juniper tree. Behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Eating always makes me feel better. Doesn't it make you feel better? I mean, the right thing in your mouth is medicinal. I'm not talking about kale. I'm talking about there's just some euphoric effect of something chocolatey or sugary, right? I mean, wow. And so the angel says, you need food. Arise and eat. Verse 5, verse 6. He looked and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals. Carrot cake in the Hebrew. How's that? I don't like cake. I like cake batter. I would say, don't cook it. Just leave me the batter. Something about cake that's weird. It feels weird. I just don't like it. I like, Carol, did you bring me cake? We ran into Scott. Some of you know Larry's friend Scott. They were celebrating his birthday at Logan's. They came in and I went over to Scott and I said, Scott, I just want the top of that cake. He said, no. I said, no, really? He said, no. But he gave in and she brought me cake. I knew it. See, God answers prayer. Don't mess with the man of God. He gets what he wants. He'll call fire down. Verse 6, he looked, behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water in his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat. Man, that's my kind of vacation. Right? Eat and sleep. Eat and sleep. That'll make you better. Now, don't miss church, but eat and sleep. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord came again the second time, touched him. He said, rise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Notice what the angel's saying. You're going the wrong way.
You wouldn't need it. You're away from God. You forgot about God. You're running from something that God can handle. It's not up to you and I to be God and say, I don't think God can handle this. I got to be truthful with you. I didn't think God could get me into heaven. But he did. I'm going. I'm not going because of me. I'm going because of him. I'm going because I believe. I'm not going because I did anything. I'm going because he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and I did. I didn't think he could do that. He reminds me every day that he's done that. I have no doubt about that. If you're alive and I die, I'll be in heaven. Don't question my salvation. Questioning my salvation is questioning God. God did. I had nothing to do with it. Like the thief on the cross, he's hanging there. He didn't say, would you give me one day to be good? Man, he said, Lord, remember me. There's nothing you can do other than confess you need a Savior. Verse 80, he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Verse 9, he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. Listen, listen, listen. Wherever you go, God will find you. You say, I don't believe that. When you get to heaven, ask Jonah. Asleep on a ship. Down. It says he went down into the ship. Did you ever do that? Did you ever hide? God will never see me. We talked about, right? A little kid, you tell him, they close their eyes, they think you can't see them. Why is it that we think that we can get away from God? Notice it says there, verse 9, behold, the word of the Lord came to him. Wherever you are, if you belong to God, if you know God, if God has saved you, God's going to follow you. God's going to talk to you. If he doesn't, I would be afraid. I'd be really afraid. I don't know how much you sin. Some of you, I think, sin a lot. I can see it on you. But for those of us that are Christians in sin, aren't you glad when God makes you feel terrible about it? I don't enjoy any of it. I mean, I want to sin, but then I don't want to sin. And then when I go, I'm going to do this, then God goes, yeah, that feels really crummy, doesn't it? No matter where you go, no matter how you're feeling, no matter what you're thinking, verse 9, the word of the Lord came to him. God's always right. God has always been right, always will be right. You go, I've had smart Alex say, it's fun to get old because you don't have to be tolerant of some people. Yeah, well, I don't believe God. You will. You will. Yeah, it's just, but the word, look, verse 9 says, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, look at this, what doest thou here, Elijah? In other words, you're in the wrong place. You're supposed to be on the doorstep of the palace, looking Jezebel in the eye, saying, go ahead, you first. Now, can I ask you a question? This is going to get tricky. Are you awake enough? Did Jezebel want to kill Elijah? Could she do it if God didn't want her to? Then there's nothing to worry about. Stuff can't happen to you if God doesn't want it to happen. Get over yourself. What makes you think you deserve? So Elijah's given us the treatment. Oh, I'm ready to die. I'm not better than anybody in my family. If I was God, I would at least given him a little heart thump. Because, boy, you get real religious, you know, you talk real humble, and then when God means business, you go, wait a minute, I'm just kidding. I'm telling you, you better be ready to meet God. Oh, I'm ready. No, you better be ready. God asked him, verse 9, what doest thou here, Elijah? Wasn't God's will. He never prayed about it. All we know is that he ate and he slept. He ran. The angel found him. God found him, if you will. They fed him. He slept. They fed him. He slept. He took off. God says, excuse me. Where are you going? Isn't that familiar? Think about it. When Jonah was supposed to go to Nineveh, let's backtrack a little bit. Did Jonah go to Nineveh the first time? Could God have done the first time what he did the second time when Jonah went? You sure? I'm sure. Yeah, he could have. Did Jonah run from God? Did he need to? Did he want to? Did God have trouble finding him? Jonah thought he would. Why would you run? Why would you run from God unless you thought, watch. Why would you run from God unless you thought you were God? The Bible says, Proverbs 15 and verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Why would you run from God thinking he won't see you unless you thought you were God? That's the same thing I would answer. Either God's going to take care of you or you're going to take care of you. How did Elijah take care of himself? He ran, and then what was his request? I want to die. So God finds him, feeds him, gives him rest, says now in verse 9, what doest thou here, Elijah? Verse 10, he answers. I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altar, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only am left, and they that seek my life, and they seek my life to take it away. Verse 11, and he said, God tells him, go forth, stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. I'm renting that video in heaven. I want to see that one. Hey? Here's Elijah. Go, stand on the mount. Here's Elijah. He looks just like some of you look. Watch me. Here's how you look. He wasn't interested in seeing God. If he was interested in seeing God, he would have hightailed it to Jezebel's house. This is all about self-preservation. This is all about Elijah. Elijah's God. I only am left. I got news for you, and you're not going to like it. You're not God. Let me say it again. Some of you didn't get it. You're not God. But God is. And how quickly we forget. If you were God, would you? But look what God does. If you were God, wouldn't you say, wouldn't you set up a great big screen and start flashing on the screen everything that God had did for Elijah? God says to him, I want you, verse 11, go forth, stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains. Hey, rent the mountains. Hey, not supposed to say hey when you preach. Hey, it rent the mountains. Just like stupider. You know what hey means. You know what stupider means. Right? I just want you to get the point. You're not here to correct my grammar. Listen to me. If God can blow so hard that he cracks the mountains, he could take care of you. Here's you standing on the mountain waiting for God to show himself. That's how men look when they're waiting for their wife when she's shopping. They're not into it. How's this one look? Oh. And you'll say, you like this? I'm on it. Nope. You like this? Nope. Hey, woman, if you're not going to abide by what I say, don't ask me. I mean, I tell the truth. Hey? God is trying to show Elijah that this is about God. Elijah never rent any mountains. Did you see it? The Lord passed by, verse 11, in a great and strong wind, rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. Man, that's the kind of God I want. God wants to be that kind of God. But you can't run from him. You can't say, I'd rather be dead. Notice verse 11 goes on, but the Lord was not in the wind. Well, where was he? I mean, who did that? God did that. And it doesn't mean he wasn't there. It just means it doesn't matter. So then it says in verse 11, and after the wind, an earthquake. I've never felt one. Some of you, do you feel that tremor? Man, trucks go by and I feel a tremor. To make the earth shake? Hey, you got to be big. You got to be strong. Hello? You got to be God. And it says, verse 11, the Lord was not in the earthquake. Verse 12, and after the earthquake, a fire. What is it about fire? I mean, it is just cool. I mean, I see a candle, I'm mesmerized. I'm like watching your favorite Western. I see this flame, and I'm just like, yeah, I have pyromania tendencies. My uncle was talking about the hair room at the barber shop. So remember how much hair was behind the barber shop in that room? I said, oh, yeah. And hair burns really fast. He goes, how do you know that? I said, Uncle Jim, that was a dirt floor. I used to go back there. I'd steal packs of matches. Remember when we were kids, my dad on the cash register would have boxes of matches for candidates. He had them in the barbershop. Man, I would just wait till nobody's looking. And take a whole bunch and go back there and just light them. You say, you're goofy. So I'm lighting these matches, throwing them in the dirt. And then I realized you could flick them, they go farther. So I flicked it and it went farther. It went right in a barrel. It was like, I was 10. That was 20 years ago. I can remember the sound, the crackling. I can remember. My dad runs back there. I smell hair. I go, hey. Fire's powerful. We didn't learn fire's powerful. We learned smoke is powerful. Hey? But you don't have smoke without fire. And the little while that the fire burnt next door caused a great amount of smoke damage. Notice verse 12. The Lord was not in the fire. It's almost like he's saying God's bigger than that. But then notice where he was. Verse 12. Notice where God was. Verse 12. And after the fire, a still small voice, not a big, fat, loud one, a still small one. Look, 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 a still small one. Did you meet with God this morning and open this book? That's better. Watch, 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 watch. That's better than the wind breaking the mountains. That's better than an earthquake. That's better than the biggest fire. This still small voice of our God. Look at verse 13. And it was so. When Elijah heard it, you know the thing about whispering? You got to listen. I love the little old ladies at the nursing home. We go to the nursing home. She go, come here. I go, yes, ma'am. They'd look at me. They're crying. Their grandma, we love you. We like you. We're so glad you come. I go, well, that's great. She goes, we can hear you. I go, that's it? Yes, you don't whisper. You're loud. We always hear every word you say. So I thought, okay, yeah, okay. When God speaks in a still small voice, you have to really pay attention. In fact, you have to say, God, are you speaking? Am I missing it? Let me ask you a question. When Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you, Elijah, you think God said anything? Elijah didn't hear. God said, when she said, Elijah, I'm going to kill you, you know what God said to Elijah? Wait and handle her. Don't you be scared of her. Verse 14. I'm sorry, verse 13. He heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out, stood in the entering of the cave. Behold, there came a voice unto him, said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Now watch me. I'm going to go real quick and finish. I need you to watch me. Elijah is at the bottom of the barrel of discouragement. All of us. I talk to preachers all the time who are discouraged. They think the answer is quitting. I always respond, that's an option. It's not a good option. Anybody can quit. First message I ever preached. First message ever, 1980, I ever preached. Anybody can quit. And I'm thinking, boy, that good wasn't it, God. And I heard God say in a still small voice, that message you preached was for you. And I want to respond, I don't need it. Hey, but for 44 years, I've needed it. Elijah was one of the greatest prophets in all the Bible. He has absolutely no reason to be discouraged. None. He should have been encouraged. He's just gotten rid of the false prophets. He should have said, now it's time to get to work. Ahab tells Jezebel. Jezebel says to Elijah, hey, I want you to know I didn't like that. You know what happened in this country? When they told the schools to quit praying, we said, oh, okay. Hey, let them come in here. Tell me to quit praying. Hello? Not their house. When they said, you know, the Bible is a fact. We don't want the Bible in schools. You know what a bunch of them said? And the preachers were silent. You know what they said? Oh, all right. And now they're complaining about all the, you know, kids having kids and violence. And they're going, we don't know what happened. You didn't ask a preacher. You ask Dr. Phil, and he doesn't have the answers. Don't forget that Elijah just called down fire from heaven. 450 prophets of Baal are there. And he tells the king, remember what he told the king? It's not going to rain. I don't know about you. I would never drive to the White House and say, I need to see Joe. Joe says, hey, Vito, how you doing? Hi, Joe, been praying for you. I saw the mayor the other day. Ran in at South Bend Mayor. I went after him to show him my prayer. I'm looking for my prayer list to show him that I pray for him every day. He was busy. I wanted to get after him again and go, you know, I'm not too busy in the morning when I'm praying for you. That doesn't matter, right? I'm not answering to him. I'm answering to God. Do you realize that when Elijah tells the president, it's not going to rain. The president, the king, I know. Stay up. You'll get it. Ahab goes, you can't do that. And Elijah said, you're exactly right. I can't do that. But he can. Read your Bible. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. Do you see Ahab on his throne going, wow. Wow. A year goes by. Any rain forecast? Nope. Wow. 2 years. Ahab sitting on the throne, what do we do? That rocked Elijah. Remember he called him he that troubleth Israel. Elijah said, I'm not the trouble, you're the trouble. Elijah is at the peak of spiritual power. Why should he be discouraged? Let's make this personal. Why would you get discouraged? If God would save you from hell, get you into heaven, why isn't he there for everything else? Paul wrote to the Romans. You know what he said? Great verse. Man, great verse. He said, Romans chapter 8, verse 32, he that spared not his own son. If you know this verse, don't quote it quick. It doesn't make it better if you quote it quick. It makes it better if you digest it. That verse says, he that spared not, talking about God, didn't spare Jesus. He sent Jesus to die for you. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Are you listening? How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Elijah could raise the dead. He could stop the rain. He could start the rain. He could call fire down from heaven. He could eliminate prophets of Baal. And one woman got mad and scared God out of him. That's what happens to us. This world and things and what they're saying and people scare God out of us. Elijah knew he had more power than one woman. He knew that God could do it. He forgot all about that. He forgot all about God. 2 points, number one. Very simple. Number one, if you could jot them down. Number one, don't give up. Elijah gave up. Remember he said, it's enough. I'm done. Don't you hate hearing that? If I came in this pulpit this morning and said, folks, I'm tired, I'm worn out, I'm old, I'm sick of you, I'm sick of the world, I'm sick of everything, I quit. Would you be encouraged? If I was sitting out there and I was up here and I wasn't me, I was somebody else, but I was out there and I heard that, I'd walk up to that rascal and I'd say, it's too bad your God is dead. I don't know about you. Mine's still very much alive. I know the devil's alive, but God's more alive. You say, that's not grammatically correct. See where you're going with this? You're going to miss the point. Yes, the devil's alive. Yes, he's working. But God's always bigger. Don't give up. Don't give up. I love pity parties. I throw them all the time. I don't want to go to yours. I want my own. Hey, come on now. A lot of preachers will lie to you. Chaplains will lie to you. I'm not going to lie to you. Oh, I mean, I didn't mean to say that out loud. Hey, poor me. Nobody cares. You know the hardest part about being down? Admitting it. Hardest part about being discouraged? Owning up to it. We don't want anybody to know. So people say to me, you put on an act, don't you? Yeah. So they go to the source. Nobody believes me. They don't believe anything I say. They don't believe the way I am. They always, and ask her. And they go to Amy and they go, is he for real? And she goes, I've been living with him for 46 years. Yep. I'm praying that he'll change, but that's the way he is. It's not me. I don't take a God pill in the morning or a God drink. I used to drink those green God drinks. Why? Hey? God going to go, boy, you were healthy. Too bad you died. Yeah, but I'm drinking everything green. Elijah's honest and he admits that he's defeated and he's discouraged. He said, it's enough, I've had it, I can't take it, I'm done. That's what the devil wants. He wants you to give up. He wants you to act like you failed, like you're a failure, think like a failure, talk like a failure, see life like a failure, hear like a failure, and discouragement will make you absolutely convinced that you're a failure. Man, if God saved you, you're not. If God thought enough of you for whosoever, if God thought enough of you to save you, you're not a failure. You'll fail. Look at me. You'll fail. You're not a failure. I belong to God. Now are we, 1 John 3 says, now are we the sons of God. No matter how you think, no matter what people tell you, everybody battles discouragement. Just don't hide it. All Elijah had to do was think about this. He would have seen that he had nothing to be discouraged about. God isn't in the discouragement business. God is in the encouraging business. Moses dies. Remember that blunder? God says, talk to the rock. I'll feed you all the water you need. Moses said, I'll hit the rock and I'll give them a little bit of what for? So he did. He hit the rock. Water still came out. God said, come here, Moses. He said, you failed to glorify me in the eyes of these people. You are not going into the promised land. He dies. Joshua steps up. Joshua says to God, I can't do this. God says, I know you can. Be encouraged. Joshua chapter 1. Be encouraged. I'm with you. Read it. God, I can't do this. And God said, no, I know you can't. He tells him, remember Remember in our story we read, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Do you remember that? What did God say to Joshua? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein for them. Read it. Joshua 1:8. Write it down. Read it. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. If you're a failure, it's not God, it's you. If you're a failure, it's because you're not going to this book. Satan will discourage you. He'll do anything, say anything. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing sinful about getting discouraged. But there's something wrong with staying discouraged. Don't give up. Number two. Here's the answer. Look up. My uncle and I were talking. He said, you know what you're going to preach tomorrow? He called me in Saturday night, Saturday afternoon, prays with me. He said, you know what you're going to preach? I said, Uncle Jim, only God knows that. He said, are you ready? He said, I'm ready. I can go 3 days. But what does God want? He said, well, that must be hard. It would make you nervous if you weren't really sure. I said, Uncle Jim, I'm always nervous. I'm scared to death every time I'm walking in this building. I'm inside. I'm a mess. Amy, my lovely dear wife, will say, God knows how to keep you humble. I go, well, I don't need it. Tell him to pick on somebody else. Look up. When you're discouraged, you know what you focus on? Your discouragement. Man, I'm so down. Look up! Man, I am feeling crummy. I am such a failure. Look up! I can't believe she said that she's going to kill me. Don't look out. Don't look over. Don't look in. Look up! I mean, you looked up to get to heaven. You didn't look in. You didn't look out. You looked up. You get discouraged and don't look up. You will go into a death spiral. One of my heroes in college was a man. His son is still living. He came all the time, great pastor, pastored in Indianapolis, Dr. Warren Defoe. Some of you know that name, Dr. Warren Defoe. Dr. Defoe would come to chapel, he'd come to preacher boys. Man, he just let us have it, told us what life was all about, told us how rotten and terrible people are. And one day, Dr. Serum got in the pulpit, he said, Dr. Serum always had those big black rims before they were stylish. He always wore them low. He got in the Pullman Chapel. He said, dear students, he said, I need to share some tragic, terrible news. He said, our dear friend, Dr. Warren Defoe Sr., has gone to be with the Lord. And he said this. He wasn't sick. He was discouraged. And I sat there and I thought, I'm in trouble. If Dr. Warren Defoe got discouraged, I don't know where it is in the Bible, but I'm a dead duck. I mean, God used him, and he used him at his church. He used him in our lives. Why would he take his own life? I'll tell you why. Because he didn't look up. You can be real smart. You can be real successful and not look up. Elijah wanted to be dead. He wanted everybody to feel sorry for him. I tell you, who else didn't come to your pity party? God didn't. I mean, if he comes, he isn't coming to party. He's coming to ruin your party. And when you are discouraged, God wants you to go to the mount. There's a place, listen. There's a place where God wants you to meet him. Do you know what's great about being on the mount? Listen to this, watch. Being on the mount, do you know on the mount, you still have to look up to God? Everything else is below you. Highest point in that area, God says, meet me there. And Elijah got there. And even there, to see God, he didn't look out. He didn't look a little down. He still had to look up. So whether you're doing great or doing bad, you need to look up. And if you look at no one but God, that's when you'll see things like you should. You'll overcome discouragement. You'll quit thinking about yourself. You'll quit thinking about your problems. You'll quit thinking about what caused you to be discouraged. You have to start thinking about God. Look at verse 13. 1 Kings 19. Look at this phrase, it's so important. And it was so when Elijah heard it. You don't have to listen to God, but you should. You don't have to trust Christ to get to heaven. You don't have to. I mean, you can't get to heaven if you don't, but he won't headlock you. Your problems, watch, I'm done. Watch. Your problems will never outweigh God's promises. You say, I don't know why you're saying this because I don't need it. Buckle up. Hey, buckle up. You know how many times people say to me later, Pastor, you preached a message 5 years ago I didn't think I'd need? See, your car's broken down. You want me to fix your car today. God's having me preach his message because your car's going to break down in 5 years. Buckle up. No matter how much you think that you should be discouraged, God has already promised to take care of you. You can forget God when you're on the mountaintop of victory, or you can forget God when you're in the valley of discouragement. Doesn't matter. But you can forget him. God, listen. He's trying to talk to you. You got to listen to him. Hey, come on. I'm not older than some of you, but I'm old enough. I've seen a lot. I've talked to a lot of people. I've heard every excuse. And I've seen the answers that work. Don't give up. Look up. It's easy, right? Isn't it funny? Like, do you ever tell your I'll say daughter because she's not here. Do you ever tell your daughter, look at me? And you're here, here's what they do. No, look at me. They don't want to look because they're guilty. That's the hard part, looking at God when you're guilty. Your head bowed, your eyes closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord Jesus, I don't know who's here today that's not a Christian. I don't know if someone's here and thinks they're a Christian, but you know better. Because we never want to just presume because we did something, or even if we just prayed a prayer, that we're going to heaven. We want to know that we're a child of God. We want to know that we turned to God and he saved us, and that's all that matters. There might be someone here, there might be someone watching who would say, you know, I've never asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I've never seen that I've needed a Savior, but I see that today. I see that I need a Savior. I see that I must be born again. I see that I can't get to heaven. without the perfect sacrifice of God's Son. There's no sacrifice that we can make that will get us into heaven. Only the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. As God and man dying on the cross, rising from the dead, could gain heaven for us. Lord, if there's someone here like that, please show them that. Please push them to come see me so we can show them what the Bible says. Lord, there are a bunch of us here today. And the hard part's going to be saying, I'm down. The easy part is saying, I'm just going to get away for a while. There are people in this room, Lord, you need to say to them, listen to me. Listen to me. You don't need a wind. You don't need an earthquake. You don't need fire. You need my voice. Thank you for your voice, God. Thank you for your voice, your word. Thank you. Help us to see what we need today. Your head bowed, your eyes closed. Listen to me very carefully. Pastor, I need to determine not to give up. And I need to determine to look up. God's speaking to me today. Can we do this quick? God's speaking to your heart today. Pastor, God's speaking to my heart. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Here's my hand. Just want you to know there's a decision I need to make. God's speaking to my heart. Is that you? Here, raise it high. Here's my hand, preacher. God's speaking to my heart today. Some things I'm going through, I just need to let God be God. I don't need to run from God. I need to run with God. I need to run to God. I need to run for God, but I can't run away from God. Pastor, God's speaking to my heart. Here's my hand. Up and down if you haven't read. Here's my hand. God's speaking to my heart. Pastor, I don't know I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure. If I died in the next 5 minutes, I can't say I know that I know I'll be in heaven. Would you let us take a Bible? Someone, if you're a lady will take a Bible and show you how you can know you're going to heaven. If you're a guy will take a Bible. He'll show you how you can know. Not what you think, not what somebody else said, but how you can know. Would you let us do that? Father, I pray. Work in these moments. Thank you, God, for your word. I'm thankful to these people for their patience. Challenge their hearts before we go. I ask this in Jesus' name. Piano's playing. I'm not going to amen it yet. You stand, would you? You stand. God, speak to your heart. Preacher, I just want to run away. Don't do it. Don't do it. You'll regret it. Say, yeah, but God will feed me and give me rest. He knows what you need. Aren't you glad he's still God even when we make a bad decision? He's always God. He's still God no matter what we do, no matter what decisions we make. We're his children just like we treat our kids. They're our kids no matter what they do. God speaking to your heart. Come on, come on, come on. You're standing, she's playing. Y'all just come up front. Whether you stand up here, kneel in a pew, kneel at the steps. Say, God, I want to be on top. I want to get on the mountain and stay there as long as I can. And I want to keep looking up to you. And if I get down in the valley of discouragement, I want to know the first place I need to look is up. Not at my discouragement, not down. I can't get any more down than that. I want to know that God has a voice and God can give me the word that I need to get through it. Come on, as she plays, God, speak to your heart. Don't fight him. Don't wrestle with him. I'm going to pray. Then we'll be dismissed. Pray with me. Father, your word is everything we need. You said you've exalted above your own name. You said heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So may we rely on your word, not on the word of anyone else, not on our feelings,
but on you. May we keep going and not give up, and may we look up. God, just remind us of that. Prod us to look up. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.